I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It is time to put sports on instant replay with our very own Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai. You know, it's playoff time in baseball, and if you're just a casual fan, this is when you probably perk up a little bit and start paying attention as we get closer to the World Series in a couple of weeks. So with me now are two excellent sports minds who have been paying attention all year long, and not just to baseball. D. Will writes for the blog Sports on My Mind, and Greg Lee is online editor for the Boston Globe. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on,
Tony?
Let's talk a little baseball, shall we? In most sports, if you have the number one record, you are probably going to make it past the first round. But this year, the two teams with the best records in baseball were knocked out of the playoffs early. Of course, I'm talking about the LA Angels of Anaheim and the Chicago Cubs, the teams with the top records in the American and National Leagues, both of them now home, watching the playoffs like the rest of us. D. Will, are these the kinds of surprises that make fans happy or just drive them crazy?
I think both, Tony, actually. Chicago, people wanted to see Chicago advance. It is the 100th year since they last won a World Series, so everyone was excited about that. At the same time, they were a vastly overrated club because the National League is a little bit down this year. As far as Los Angeles, they have had problems over the last few years defeating the Boston Red Sox in the postseason. So it wasn't that much of a surprise. However, people are both surprised, and they are flummoxed and all of that. So,
absolutely. Yes. Well, Greg Lee, you know, in the NLCS, which is coming up, we have the LA Dodgers starting a seven-game series today, in fact, against Philadelphia. Two things for you. Who do you see coming up on top? Because the Dodgers won the division and swept the Cubs in the NLDS, but the last time the Dodgers played in Philly, they were swept.
Well, I think it's a different Dodgers team now that Manny Ramirez is there. He's really hitting the ball real well, and his team is feeding off his energy. And I think that the Dodgers will beat the Phillies just for the simple fact that Manny Ramirez has been there, done that with his two World Series rings that he brought on from Boston. And I really think he's really, really motivated to get to the World Series and hopefully face his old team.
Well, you know what, D. Will? On Friday, the Tampa Bay Rays square off against the Boston Red Sox in the American League. They meet at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. These teams really don't like each other, do they? I mean, I remember their big bench-clearing brawl back in June.
Right, yes. Tampa Bay has grown in stature and maturity, and actually they don't like the Yankees, they don't like Boston, they don't like any of the AL East teams they play against. And this is going to be very interesting. I think Tampa might actually beat Boston, even though I personally want to see Boston and L.A. play in the World Series. I think Tampa might do it because they have a never-say-die attitude, and I think they have as many clutch hitters as the Red Sox.
And they have good pitching as well. But to Greg's, D. Will's point, Greg, seems like a lot of folks want to see L.A. and the Red Sox. Of course, Manny is one reason for that, but is that the only reason?
There are several reasons. Around here, we call L.A. Dodgers Boston West. And there's a lot of storylines there. You have Frank McCourt, the Boston real estate mogul, who owns the Dodgers. There's a lot of Dodgers who used to play for the Red Sox, including Derek Lowe.
And Garcia Parra.
Omar Garcia Parra.
That's right.
So there's a lot of connections there. And remember, the manager is Joe Torre, who's had a lot of battles with the Red Sox. So there's so many different storylines outside of the obvious with Manny Ramirez being traded in midseason this year.
All right, we'll have to follow and see how that goes. Let's move on to college football, gentlemen. We've got a couple of big college football games this week. Number one ranked Oklahoma taking on fifth ranked Texas in a Big 12 matchup. Defending national champion and fourth ranked LSU goes to the Swamp at number 11 Florida in a SEC matchup. Give me your thoughts about that first, D. Will.
These are two excellent matchups. I'm down here in Austin, so you can imagine everything's at a fever pitch down here. I think Oklahoma actually is the better team this year. They are amazing on both sides of the ball. As far as the battle in the Swamp is concerned, it's going to be a defensive struggle that I think LSU might just win.
Really? What do you think,
Boston? Obviously, in Texas and in Oklahoma, you know, both teams have two great quarterbacks in Colt McCoy in Texas and Sam Bradford in Oklahoma. But I really think Oklahoma, yes, as D. Will mentioned, have it on both sides of the ball. Their defense is very dominating and suffocating. I think the Sooners will, you know, take care of Texas. As far as LSU and Florida, being a Louisiana bred than I am, I really think the LSU's defense really – would go down there into the swamp and beat Florida. I think Florida, you know, showed a little weakness when they lost to Ole Miss, maybe of lack of focus. Mm-hmm. But losing to Ole Miss was not a good thing for Florida. And I really think LSU is really, really finding themselves and finding their groove, especially with their young quarterback, Jarrett Lee, who really stepped up big time a couple weeks ago in Auburn and led LSU to the victory at Auburn.
Greg Lee, I'm going to have to stop calling you Boston and start calling you Baton Rouge, I suppose. I think one of the interesting side stories, guys, this season is that some of the smaller schools are doing really well. Talking now about Brigham Young, Boise State, they're in the top 20. And also Tiny Ball State has even cracked AP's top 25. Aren't these schools, D. Will, supposed to have inferior programs, at least compared to the big Division I-A schools?
Well, yes, they do as far as depth is concerned. But the starters on both sides of the ball for these smaller schools are equal now in talent to the larger schools. And as long as they can avoid injuries or get into a smash-mouth type of game, the way the college offensive systems are, they can spread the field, run the ball. As long as you have a good set of core athletes, these smaller schools can keep up. And with the multitude of athletes across the country and the fewer scholarships that are allowed in college football, it allows these athletes to go to smaller schools. So I think this is great, and I think it's going to continue.
That was my question to you, Greg. How are these schools getting these athletes? And D. Will just partly explained it.
Yes. Yes, everyone is now limited to 85 scholarships. So scholarships are spread out more across the country. And we have to realize, too, college football is on TV everywhere. So everyone is getting a piece of that national exposure that every high school senior is looking for when they go to college. Just because they can't get into Michigan, and Michigan is always on TV, they can get into the Ball State because Ball State is shown on TV. Brigham Young is shown on the Mountain Network in the Mountain West. So it's shown nationally on direct TV and that sort. So with the number of scholarships and plus TV exposure being increased even more so for all these schools to be exposed, a lot of kids are going to different types of schools outside of the Michigans and the Floridas.
Let me come to you, D. Will. I got another college football question because we have seen a lot of upsets at the college level so far this season, and a lot of these upsets seem to be coming during weekday games, like on Thursday.
Yes.
USC versus Oregon, just one example, a couple of weeks ago. This is, of course, a television phenomenon, putting the games on Thursday. And I know that programs do get a certain amount of exposure from those weekday games, but it seems to me, and I'd like your opinion, that playing midweek cannot be helpful to the student athlete.
No, it isn't. And particularly for the bigger schools, they don't need the exposure. They don't need to build a reputation. For these smaller schools like Oregon State, saying that, and it is a large school, but it's smaller in stature than USC is as far as its football program is concerned. That game was a Super Bowl type of game or national championship game for Oregon State. It is their one chance to play on national television and show the country what they're about. In the case of Oregon State, they came off a bye week. They had 9 full days to prepare for that game, and this was everything to them. And that's how these upsets occur. Additionally, for the larger schools and the athletes in those schools, the athletes who are going to be professionals, those games often can only hurt their status in the NFL, coming NFL draft. A bad game on national television during the middle of the week when it's the only game on television can drop their draft stock from a first-round draft choice to a third-round draft choice because the sports jocks and the ESPNs of the world will never let you forget that they had that bad game under, quote, pressure.
You know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Let's talk, though, about the guys that play on Sunday now instead of the guys that just play on Saturday and Thursday and whenever the heck they play. He is back, gentlemen. Adam Pac-Man Jones is in Dutch again. The Dallas Cowboys DB reportedly involved in an altercation with the bodyguard who was hired by his own team to keep him out of trouble. Happened after an after party at a posh hotel in downtown Dallas Wednesday night. And get this, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, the man who let Jones back in the league after a long suspension, was in town at the time. Ouch, somebody is going to the principal's office today. What do you say?
Some people never learn.
How many chances are they going to give this brother?
The guy's very talented.
He is talented, but yes. I mean, come on. You know, he's talented on Sunday, but he's not too talented on Saturday night, apparently.
Well, some people
that's true.
Some people just don't learn, and Pac-Man Jones, in his case, sitting out, you think of sitting out a year from the NFL, that he have learned his lesson, that, you know, he wasn't getting any income coming in, got suspended, realized that this is his, you know, hopefully that he had some perspective sitting out for a year. But obviously what has allegedly happened Wednesday night, Pac-Man is could be, you know, in trouble again.
He could be in trouble again for sure. Another guy who was in trouble just recently with his team, D. Will, Plaxico Burress of the New York Giants. He was suspended for 2 weeks, including including last week's game against the Seahawks. Now, he was AWOL and said he had had to take his kid to school, didn't call anybody to let them know, and then after the suspension he said, no, I'm not sorry, but the next time I will at least pick up a telephone. Now, the Giants won without him, so what's going on with the G-men?
I don't think anything's going on with the G-men. As a matter of fact, all of his teammates love him. They support him. And they don't find that there's a problem with him. Actually, the problem is more, to me at least, a media creation than it is an in-house creation. Plaxico Burress is known within the locker room as being one of those tardy people. He's, you know, and people, some people are like that. They're just late people, and he is one of those people. He's constantly late for meetings, constantly forgetting to call the offices, etc. And in this case, he's estranged from his wife. His son was having a problem, needed to get to school, etc., as you said. He did what he had to do. Yes, he forgot to call the team. He's been fined over and over and over for this type of thing. It's nothing new for him. And his reaction to it actually spoke to that fact that it is really nothing new and no big deal. It's all water under the bridge and everything's okay.
What is it, Greg Lee, about these wide receivers? T.O., Randy Moss, Chad Ocho Cinco. I mean, these guys, they are like crazy. Why is that?
Receivers, you know, they're kind of guys who they thrive in the spotlight. They want the ball. They feel like they need the ball. It's a very extravagant position. I love T.O., I love Ocho Cinco. I love the wide receiver position, but at the same time, a lot of his receivers, yeah, they do get under the skin of some fans and even some of their teammates. But at the same time, T.O. is very passionate. T.O. gets out in the field. He practices hard. He plays real hard. He goes all out. Ocho Cinco is the same way.
You're right.
So although some receivers get a bad rap, but the reality is that they're really hard workers, and they wouldn't be the players that they are today if they didn't put any hard work or any time into it. So I really look at that more so the flamboyance of the receiver position. But it is what it is with that position, and you got to accept it. And within the case of the T.O.'s and Ocho Cinco's and the Plaxico Burress's, hey, Plaxico caught a winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. T.O. constantly produces. So I have no problem with it.
You're right. High risk, high reward. All right, guys, we're going to end Sports Bloggers this week on this topic. It is October, which means this is the one month of the year where every major sport is going, including the Big Four, baseball, football, basketball, even hockey, for crying out loud, plus college football. How many games do you guys watch a week? How many TV sets do you have going? I got about 30 seconds for you, D. Will, on that.
I actually have three televisions, DirecTV, and a full package for everything. So, and of course, I'm sitting with a laptop as well. So I'm watching sports all the time.
Really? What about you, Greg? How many TVs going on in your house at the same time?
Three, and with TiVo, and I have all the packages. And when I'm not home, I can get the DirecTV NFL package on my laptop. So when I'm away, I can watch football on my laptop. So
it's the NFL. I feel you guys. I have one station on in my office, another station on in the family room, and another station on in the kitchen. So when I'm going back and forth and back and forth, I don't miss any of the action. One final, really, really quick note about basketball. Elgin Baylor, the Hall of Famer, let go by the Clippers. There may be some legal action. The team has been a laughingstock for so long. I'm going to just ask you really quickly, D. Will, in about 10 seconds. Was this deserved, do you think?
Yes. Elgin Baylor has presided over a losing program for 20 years now. It's about time a change was made.
Yeah, it's too bad. He was a great guy, but the team, they suck. There's just no way of putting it another way. All right. True. Greg Lee is an online sports writer for the Boston Globe. He joined us from WBUR in Boston. D. Will writes for the blog Sports on My Mind. He came to us from the studios of KUT in Austin, Texas.